From atheism to astrophysics, from evolution to economics, from comparative religion to cults, from philosophy to politics, a voice of reason in our confused world and beacon of truth and hope in this age of uncertainty. Welcome to God and Science Foundation with physician, teacher, and evangelist, Dr. Paul Kattupalli. God and Science Foundation is designed to study the relationship between God and science and to defend Christian faith from a scientific perspective. Dr. Paul's teaching helps you understand the vital issues affecting our world from a biblical worldview. For today's lecture, here is Dr. Paul.
Good evening, folks. This is Dr. Paul. Thank you very much for tuning to our channel today. And greetings to you in the mighty and wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope you are doing well in the grace of God. And because of your constant support, I was able to complete 200 messages. So thank you so much. Now, people from almost 300 countries visiting our website, www.drpaul.org, and studying the Word of God. And it is very important for us to study the Word of God because these days are dangerous. You see, there is so much violence in our streets. There is so much confusion, chaos. There is so much disorder. People are looting and rioting. And there is so much breakup of social order. And we wonder, why is it like this? Thomas Hobbes used it to say, nature, nasty and poor and beastly. You see, that is the kind of nature we are seeing. We need to preach the Word of God, and only God will change hearts, one heart at a time. That's the reason we need to preach the gospel around the clock, because only gospel can change the hearts of people. So when you have time, visit our website, www.drpaul.org. You can also sponsor our TV program. Now we are on two channels and on one radio station. So please help us with this ministry as much as you can, because we need sponsors to carry out the Word of God to many places around the world. And I'm also working in the hospital. Please pray for me as I take care of people suffering from many diseases, including corona. So today I want to talk about your heart for Jesus. I entitled this message, Your Heart for Jesus. So I want to tell you 10 things that bearing on my heart. I want to share these 10 things about the heart. Heart is the source of sin, seat of salvation, scale of sincerity, seed of sensitivity, spring of sanctification, seal of security, space of submission, song of sanctification, shield of sobriety, symbol of sacrifice. So those are the 10 things I have been thinking about in my heart. Now, first things first, what is heart? In our everyday language, we use heart in different ways. We say, do you love me with your heart? Do you hate me in your heart? What is the heart of this argument? What is the heart of this matter? Like that. And we think that heart is the house for all our emotions, while mind is where we use our rationality and thinking processes. So we think heart has all the emotions and mind has all the rationality. We learned that heart and mind are different. But you see, this is not what the Bible teaches about human hearts. And the Bible talks about heart repeatedly. In the Old Testament, the word, the Hebrew word labab was used. And in the New Testament, the Greek word cardia. You see, cardiology, the study of heart was used. So what is heart? So it is not the muscular heart, it is not the physical heart in our chest. We have a physical heart in our chest and it beats like 72 times on average, supplying blood, like 5 liters of blood all over the body. We have brain in our skull and they are not working completely separately. You see, brain needs heart and heart needs brain. When I was in medical school, I used to spend a lot of time in anatomy lab, and 1 week I completely dedicated to study human heart. I was going dissecting this human heart and I was surprised to see there were many nerves supplying human hearts. So in our heart there are arteries, veins and also nerves. So in our brain we have arteries and in our heart we have nerves. So brain needs heart to function and heart needs brain to function. God integrated these organs in our body. So in the Bible, the heart is not just about emotions. It is also the intellectual and logical core of our being. So the heart is the emotional and intellectual core of our being. So that's the important concept you need to remember. The heart in Bible is the intellectual and emotional core of your being. If you open the human body, you don't see mind, you see only brain. In the same way, if you open the human body, you don't see this heart, you see muscular heart. But this heart is not muscular heart. It is the emotional and intellectual core of your being, yet it is invisible. It's basically an emergent property from your body and soul and mind. So this is a very important part of our being. Proverbs 27:19 says that. Also, this is not a heart that animals possess. Now, animals have their own heart. But human heart is unique. Human heart is very, very unique. Because human beings are created in the image of God. That's what we read in Genesis chapter 1:26. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, God has set eternity in their hearts. God has set eternity in their hearts. So animals don't have any eternal dimension. We have that. We have the transhumanism, a very active movement in our time. Their pursuit is for eternity, to upload their consciousness into a supercomputer or artificial intelligence. They want to give humanity to these robots. They want to humanize these robots. So even though these people do not believe in God, they are in a quest for immortality. What does that tell you? Because God created them in His image as eternal beings. That's why they are after eternity. You see, SpaceX, this company, and recently it sent 2 astronauts to the assistance of NASA. Now, they sent these 2 astronauts into the orbit using rockets. The interesting thing is these rockets are reusable. These rockets came back to the Earth and they can go back again taking astronauts. So gone are the days when these rockets would fall off after burning their fuel. Now they come back to this Earth and they refuel and they go back. So the Elon Musk's mission is to send people into space, and he is using these new technologies in the pursuit of those goals. And he said that one of these days a virus or a pandemic or a nuclear holocaust will wipe out human race from the face of this planet. by that time, we should have sent some human beings to some other extraterrestrial space to colonize it. So you see, even Elon Musk, who is an atheist, believes in the continuation and the preservation of human race, because God has set eternity in our hearts. So God has set his morality also in our hearts. That's why when we see these injustice, racial injustice, we fight. And God actually visited us in the person of Lord Jesus Christ. And God is telling us, I want your heart. I don't want cheap things from you. I want your heart. So God wants the most important things from our lives. That is our heart. That's why in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we come across Shema Israel. This is a prayer Jewish people utter constantly. Almost Orthodox Jews utter this prayer almost every day. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 5 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. So with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, God is saying, I want your heart. Now Satan says, I also want your heart. So your heart is the most coveted real estate space in the entire universe. Both Satan and God want your heart. I want your heart, says God. No, I want your heart, says Satan. Now you need to ask yourself, are you going to give your heart to God, or are you going to give your heart to Satan? Some people are saying, Satan, take my heart. You see, your heart is the most important thing. And that is the most important question you need to ask yourselves. Who are you going to give your heart to? And I want to give you 10 things. And first of all, remember your nature, the nature of your heart. It is the source of sin. And God talks about people who ignore him. All right. For example, if you see in Psalm chapter 14, verse 1, it says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. So atheism is not just a belief. It's a lifestyle. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. And then he goes around doing abominable things. Before the global flood that destroyed human race, in Genesis chapter 6, read those words. God says one thing. He looks around and says, the humanity is completely degraded in sin. Read Genesis 6, 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So that is the nature of human hearts. All our imaginations are tainted by sin. Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, he repeated the same thought when he was in this world. He says, all the sins come from our heart. You name a sin, and Jesus says, that starts in your heart. Now people say, hey, I failed because of my society. No, Jesus said, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So don't blame your surroundings. Don't blame your parents. Don't blame your friends. They are secondary. The primary source of evil in your life is your own heart. Right now, America is rocked by all these protesters. One police officer pressed his knee on the neck of a black man. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And this policeman put his knee for 9 minutes. Why are you doing this? Why are you so heartless? Those are the thoughts that came into my mind. Why are you so heartless? The protesters are also resorting to violence in some areas that President Donald Trump had to hide in his bunker in the White House. So racism is a sin because a racist violates the principle God put into human race, the principle of equality. Revelation 5:9 says that if you look into heaven, you see people of all races. Revelation chapter 5, folks. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to a God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So when you look in heaven, it's diversity. So God already has diversity in heaven. We need to learn that. And if you don't like diversity, you feel terrible in heaven. And Bible says it very clearly. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9, it says our heart is wicked. And this wickedness will go away if we wash it with the word of God. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So the heart is deceitful. A patient came to me and asked me for a physical. I examined him, tested him and told him, sir, you have a heart disease. And he said, no way. I am fine. My heart is fine. And he walked out of my office. And many months later, he came back and said, I'm so sorry. What you said is right. I had heart disease. After a few weeks, I got heart pain, chest pain. And I had to take him to the ER and they had to do emergency procedures. And they told me I had a heart attack. You see, God does the same thing, folks. He tells us you have a heart problem and we need to listen. Secondly, it is the soul, it is the seat of salvation. It is the seat of salvation. Your heart now can be the seat of salvation. It is the source of sin, but you don't have to leave it like that. You can make your heart the seat of salvation. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now you might ask, how can I be saved? You need to do two things. First thing is, you should confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And secondly, you should believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. If you do those two things, you will be saved. You are a saved person. Your salvation starts in your heart. So your heart, which has been the source of all sins, now became a seat of salvation. And on that seat, you need to sanctify the Lord God, Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15 says that, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Right? You need to sanctify the Lord God Jesus in your hearts. You should not say, I am the king of my own heart. You see, Jesus wants to be the king of your own heart. Alexander Solzhenitsyn was a great Russian philosopher. He said the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being. And who is willing to destroy a piece of his own heart? So the line dividing good and evil goes through every human heart. And who is willing to sacrifice a piece of his or her own heart? You see, we would like to draw our own lines. That is our nature. But Jesus is saying, sanctify me as your Lord. And number three, the heart is the scale of sincerity. So the Bible talks about heart as the scale of sincerity. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 3 very clearly says that the Lord trieth our hearts. So read from Proverbs chapter 17 verse 3. It says, the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. So a furnace is needed to test the quality of gold. In the same way, God looks at our heart. It shows us the quality of our faith. And God sent Samuel to the house of Jesse to select the future king of Israel. So Samuel goes to the house of Jesse, and Jesse makes all his sons to stand before him. And Samuel thinks, this must be it. This is the king of Israel. He is tall and handsome. But God says, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So we look on outward appearance, but the Bible says God looketh on our hearts. So when God looked at the sons of Jesse, David has the heart for God. David in his heart loved God. And God in his heart loved David. And they came together. Their hearts came together. That's why David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Those are the words from Psalm 139. David confidently looked at God and said, God, you know my heart. So, folks, those are important and profound thoughts. Sometimes I think about Blaise Pascal. He was a great French philosopher. And in one of his books, he wrote these words, God, who was after relationship, would be willing to appear openly to those who seek him with all their heart, and to be hidden from those who flee from him with all their heart. So if you love God, God wants to manifest to you. God wants to reveal to you. But if you want to hide from God, if you want to flee from God, God says, don't worry, I won't bother you. If you don't want me, if you don't like me in your heart, I don't want to bother you. You see, folks, God looks at your heart. If you don't love God in your heart, God won't bother you. God will leave you to your own ways and your own lifestyle and to your own sins. That's why Jeremiah chapter 12 verse 3 says, but thou, God, you have seen me and tried my heart towards you. You see, God trying our hearts. Apostle Paul, he makes that point very, very clear in many of his epistles. He repeatedly says that I am not pleasing men. I want to please God because God is trying the hearts of men. So we need to remember those words. Not to please people, but to please our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because, as Apostle Paul said, as servants of Christ, we want to do the will of God from the heart. He says those words in Ephesians chapter 6. So, our ways may look good to us. Our programs may look good to us. But we need to see whether the heart of God is in that program. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2 verse 23, I am the one who searches the hearts. I am searching your heart. So, those are the three important thoughts I wanted to share with you today. Our heart. God wants to change one heart at a time. The heart is the source of sin, seat of salvation, and scale of sincerity. Three thoughts I wanted to give you today. First of all, the heart is the source of sin. All the sins come from our hearts. I should not be blaming my family, my parents, my friends, and my society, my atmosphere, and my surroundings. I need to take this responsibility. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. All right? The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. My heart is sinful. Secondly, the heart is the seat of salvation. I need to come and confess my sins. And thirdly, my heart is the scale of sincerity. Are you really saved? And God is looking right into your heart. And God knows whether you are saved or not. Because salvation starts from the heart. So if you haven't saved, folks, this is the time. Just pray a simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, please help me to see the sinfulness of my heart. I want to confess my sins. I want to come to you today. Blessed Lord Jesus, please forgive my sins. Please come into my life. I believe that you are the Lord. I believe that you victoriously rose again from the dead. Now, Lord Jesus, make me your son. Make me your daughter. When you pray that prayer, folks, God will forgive all your sins and you are a saved person. And may the Lord lead you to that recognition today. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Great God of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, King of kings and Lord of lords, the rock of salvation. Lord Jesus, we worship you today and we come to thy presence. You told us the sinfulness of our hearts. Help us to see the sinfulness of our hearts. Clean our hearts with thy word. Father God, clean our hearts, one heart at a time, the sinfulness of our hearts. Help us to make you, to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, as you told us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Lord Jesus, help us to sanctify our hearts with thy presence. Lord Jesus, if anybody is depressed and anxious today, we pray that you give them your presence, Lord Jesus. Comfort them, Lord Jesus. If they are distressed and if they are hopeless, we pray that you open their hearts and give them your presence right this moment, Lord Jesus. If anybody lost their job and they don't know how to get their groceries, how to pay the bills, Father, we pray that you open your hands and fulfill their needs. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we pray this prayer in your mighty name. Amen. So, folks, those are the things I wanted to share with you, please visit us www.drpaul.org. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Thank you for listening to this message. Please visit us on www.drpaul.org. That is www.drpaul.org to learn more about Dr. Paul Kadupalli's medical ministry and teaching. We are a listener-supported ministry. Please consider a prayerful donation to our ministry to meet our ongoing expenses. You can visit us online or call us. We look forward to hearing from you. May God richly bless you